Thank you, Dr. Ralston, and thank you to each of you for coming back for the spring semester. It's poised to be a very good spring semester, and if you notice outside, it's semi-warm. And I hope each of you had a wonderful holiday season and break. Every one of you, as I witnessed you back in the fall semester, worked hard, whether you're on the north side of campus, the south side of campus, or anywhere in between. We know that we have challenges, and many of you put in extra hours, weekends, all different types of time. So I hope you enjoyed your time off. Let me first also say at the very beginning, we have shortened convocation. Some of you didn't get the memo because you got here at 10:30 to get the back row. And you know who you are back there. We moved convocation from 11 to 12 o'clock to try to shorten it a little bit, and because Dr. Ralston wanted to eat right at 12. You may also have heard, a couple of nights ago, we had a massive water break over behind, actually behind Ginger and the library, and it was actually quite nasty. Flooded down into several buildings. So I'd like for you to give our facility management crew a big round of applause for the big job that they did. We've got a lot of good things here, and one are our board members here with us today, and I'd like to introduce them and ask them to stand. Chairman Paul Goodpaster, Mr. Eric Howard, Dr. Shannon Haar, and Dr. Jonathan Pidlugeny, and there may be some others that came in out back. If you would, please stand and give them a round of applause. As we walk forward over the next couple of months and into the next few years, we know we live in a challenging environment. It doesn't take long to read the newspapers to figure that out, much of which is not under our control. But we have a lot to be appreciative of, a whole lot to be appreciative of. We've got great people. We've got great students. We've got good progress going on here in a lot of areas. And my hopes here today are really to paint a picture for you as we spend just a couple of minutes walking through where MSU is currently. And I think as you look at that picture, you'll see that we continue to be a strong university and we continue to be very resilient. I said when I came here that this was a resilient university, and I've seen that over the past couple of months as well. I'm not here today as we walk through this to project a mood of sheer pessimism. And I'm not here to project sheer optimism. I'm here, hopefully, to paint a picture to all of you, the realism that we're under, but knowing that we're going to be fine and we're going to push on. This place has been around since the late 1880s. Little schoolhouse just over here on the hill, just right outside this building, and look at what we are today. There's no telling where we'll go in the future because we've got good people. And when you've got good people and we have everybody working together, we can pull through. Today we've got many strengths in our current day university. We've got a $152 million operating budget. That's no small chunk of change. Got over $50 million in our foundation and our endowment, and over 800 full-time employees and over 10,000 students. That's a mark of a pretty successful university. Sure, we've got challenges, but let's dwell on the positives. And as we go through a couple of slides here, I hope to really project upon you the good and the bad, the realism that we're under, and it falls on both sides of the coin. Let me give you just a couple of quick examples of where we are on enrollment. The best word that you can use on enrollment for this year is we're stable, and that's a good place to be. Other universities all the way across the state have seen 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8% declines, and we're stable. We're a little over 10,500. If you subtract out our Eagle Scholars, our dual credit students, we fall back to about 7,600, 7,700. And that's a pretty good place to be. Sure, we need more, and we're vigorously recruiting for more, but we have a solid student base. We have great in-state numbers of students, and that's good for performance funding. That's actually real good for performance funding. We have strong Eagle Scholars, which are dual credit students. That's a great reach out into the region and around the state. And we're going to be okay. Our enrollment in our housing overview is pretty strong as well. If you look at that, our retention's hovering about 69 to 70%, and this is where we can make our greatest gains, both in retaining students, but also to our bottom line as well. We can push that number up, 73, 74, we can get there. There's no reason that we can't, and if all of us work together, we can do it. It may take a year or two, but we can get to 74%. We've got a strong freshman class profile, and you can see that by GPA and ACT. We're not bringing in slouches here. Strong students, sure they come with challenges. We know they have deficiencies in English. Some have deficiencies in mathematics and other areas. But overall, we have a pretty strong profile compared to what we see at other universities. And a real shining star is a 38% growth in winter term this year, the term that we are just finishing now. 38% growth. On the housing side of the coin, this is a side that's really hard to grow. Year over year, we're up about a little less than 0.5%. Again, that's not a number that grows exponentially very quickly, but this is a number that we want to climb. We're making steady progress on it from last year to this year. And if we can push this up around 92-93%, we'll be doing well. The more students you can get into your housing complex, the better it is for retention. And I think that will hit us in a positive manner all across the board. We do have Butler and Cooper offline, and they've remained offline, and that will be a decision point for us going forward. Many of you know, 75 to 80 people actually know and know intimately well, we just are concluding a very nice strategic planning process. Based off a historical context, this is one of the most inclusive processes I think you could have for strategic planning. About 10% of our total campus was involved in discussions about where you want to go in the future with MSU. Those have come to a conclusion in December. The teams did a wonderful job. The team chairs and the leadership team, which is really composed of a lot of constituency group members, got together right before the holidays. And what you have seen or will see in an email coming out is an opportunity for you to look at that, for you to make comments to it. We'll have a number of public forums over the next couple of weeks where people can give us their feedback on it. Our goal is to move that to the Board of Regents for their review and hopeful adoption in February. And then in March, we're going to start chunking some of that stuff in the budget. And when I saw what the constituency groups and what the teams brought forward, one of my comments was, there's some cultural change here. But the constituency groups brought it forward. So some of these will be very difficult to work through. Some of it's a little bit different. Fractional loads are a little bit different for our university to work through. Many others do it, and we can do it. But that's one example of some things that were recommended to push us forward. You can review this plan online. There's open comments for about a week or so, and then we'll have a number of forums. But we'll use this plan to move us forward over the next couple of years. I'm also pleased to announce that we're going to be transitioning our quality enhancement plan, our QEP. I hope we get a round of applause for that, because many of you have said, change that thing. You've been involved with it in one way or another. It's been going on for a number of years, five or more. And in some conversations with SACS, we have discussed with them a transition to a new QEP. After you're in a QEP for a number of years, it begins to run its course, and it's time for a new one. So over the next couple of months, the provost will be working with many of you here on campus to come up with a nice transitional plan. We're looking at next academic year, which would be the 18-19 academic year, as a transition year. There will be some transition things going on. And then during that 18-19 year, we will be doing some broad-based visioning all across campus and some planning for a new quality enhancement plan, a QEP, that hopefully will start in 2019 and guide us for the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years or so. So with that, you'll hear more about that coming out of the Provost Office over the next little bit. We've got a number of campus searches going on, and it would take a lot of time and slides to put them up here. But I wanted to concentrate just on a couple of our leadership searches, because we do have a number of individuals in transition. The first was a departure of Dr. Bentley back in, summer, who went home to be with family, and we're in the middle of a search for a vice president for student affairs. That is kind of a remake of the old student success vice presidency. Just a couple of days ago, we hired a new chief information officer, Mr. Chris Howes. Chris is here, and hopefully many of you know him, and you'll get a chance to meet and work with him. Also, I think on the same day, we hired an assistant vice president for facilities and operations, Mr. Kim Oatman, who is here. And if you hadn't had an opportunity to meet Kim, he also, too, will bring a lot and has a lot of experience at several other universities in this type of business. Probably the largest search that we have going on at the moment is the departure, and I guess Dr. Ralston wants to go play golf somewhere. I'm not really for sure. But during the process here, hopefully the website has been passed around. We chose to do a national search for a new provost and vice president for academic affairs. We are not using a search firm in order to save a couple of dollars there. And we have a team of about 15, 16, 18 people. Some of you in the room here will be conducting that search. That will be an open search, and our 3-4 finalists, whoever they may be, will come to campus probably either a little bit before spring break or right after spring break, and we hope around early-ish April at the latest that we can name a new provost, and then Dr. Ralston can work with that individual for a month or two as they transition, and we'll have a smooth transition there. I would like to announce a couple of teams that we're going to start here over the next little bit. Many of you have been getting phone calls probably starting a day or two ago asking you to serve on this. Part of our strategic plan says we need to review all of our facilities on campus. In my prior slide, the first slide that I showed you shows that we have a 10,500 and some change student base, and that's true. But many of those students are online, many of them are dual credit, and they don't even darken the doors of our campus. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we know as we try to control cost over the next couple of years, one of our big cost drivers as far as fixed cost is concerned is in the number of facilities that we have. And if you walk around during the day, you'll see that there are some spots on campus that are probably underutilized or non-utilized, and we can make some changes there and probably save a significant amount of money. So I've started putting together a facilities evaluation task force. Those of you who are in the room know who's going to be on it. It's composed of faculty, staff, and students to review all of our facilities and give us some ideas on what to do with them. Doesn't mean we'll do all of them. Doesn't mean we can't do all of them. But we're going to start the process of at least reviewing them. The second one that you see on the screen is around annual evaluations. And through some conversations with your staff congress and others, many of you have expressed concern that you're not quite comfortable with our process of annual evaluations for staff. Now let me set the faculty off to the side. They have a different academic process. So what we have begun discussions on is creating two small groups, working groups, one composed of professional staff, the other composed of hourly classified staff, to create what they would like to see and give some recommendations in an annual evaluatory process. There's no gotcha here. There's nothing trying to be accomplished. It's simply trying to get a process that's fair across the board, one that's usable, one that's doable, and one that cuts down on maybe some of the online portions, and we return to kind of a traditional pen and paper evaluation. It'll be composed of people sitting in this room. It's not something that we're going to sit around the table as administrators and make up. The next one is health insurance 2019. Many of you know for 2018, we held your premiums about where they were over last year. And we did that for a number of reasons. One, we knew that there were pension issues coming, and we didn't know quite where those would land. Two, we didn't know the future of a whole lot of things, and health care keeps driving upward. So we held those costs the same, except for two small segments, trying to control some of the costs embedded within. But in 2019, and we've got some time to plan for this, we've got nearly 6 or 8 months to do it before we have to start locking some things into place. I'd like to create a small working group and also work with a benefits group here on campus to try to find some good solutions to control some of our spiraling health care costs. We put in an additional $1.6 million this year, so all of you wouldn't have to forego that type of hit to your paychecks. So we've patched it up for a year. We've just got to work on it for 2019. I have nothing planned other than asking a group of people to look at it and make some recommendations. The last group there that you see is a group. We've started what we're calling Eagle Outreach Teams for Recruitment. And they're teams of 4 or 5 people, faculty and staff, that are working with Enrollment Services, Tim Roadshaw, to go out in the schools and start recruiting. And we're going to get pretty aggressive out in the schools. Many of you have seen in the paper, whether it's local or otherwise, that all state universities got a budget cut this year. Current year budget cut totaled about 1% of state appropriations, not our total budget, but state appropriations. And for us, that was about $416,000 and some change. Now, the good thing about that is we're not going to come to you and ask you for mid-year money back. Because as you know, we have been extremely conservative on hiring, extremely conservative. We pinch pennies, we've scrutinized contracts going through, we've renegotiated contracts that have been going through, we've been changing technology, all because we knew we needed to get ready and not wait to March and say, gosh, we've got a budget problem next year. So we started way back in September and October mashing out costs, because we can do that and we can plan for it and we don't get in an emergency situation and have to do something. That's not to say we don't get there if our state budget treats us unkindly, but we've been working very steadily to do that. This $416,000, we're going to be okay. We've got it and we've absorbed it because we were very conservative on hiring. We were also conservative on contracts and other things, and I would ask you to continue to be conservative on contracts, on your budget. Just because you've got it doesn't mean you won't need it next year. So think strategically in where you're applying your dollars. We also knew way back in the spring that we lost about $300,000 to $350,000 on performance funding, and that's based off prior year history, because you always roll back 3 years prior when you calculate performance funding. We're going to be okay in those two. I pledged when I came here to be fully transparent for finances. And I'd like to kind of give you a very quick overview of where we think we are for next year, where we think we are, and it changes about every month. First of all, we're a $152 million enterprise. That's no chunk of change. That's no small chunk of change. We have a very healthy budget. We've been extremely conservative this year. We've been conservative in planning for next year. And we've been making some very steady progress. So the news that you see coming out of Frankfort is news out of Frankfort. It's not, most of this is not MSU related. We've got a few things to control for, like healthcare and a couple other things like loss of our Saudi population, but most of our pain is not from our doing. If you take the $152 million and what we know now, just to give you a quick snapshot, of course we have general fixed cost increases. That could be more, could be less. It depends on how we book certain things. Right now, our pension costs are pretty well known to increase by $3.1 million. We've taken some measures to bring those down, and we'll continue to do that as we walk through the spring semester. I mentioned before, health care is about a $1.6 million increase for 2018. That's spread over two budget years. But we're starting to look at things, and we'll work through a team to try to bring some of those costs down. Our big hit was from the loss of our Saudi students, and I think that announcement was made back in March or so. We've tried vigorously to try to revive that population, and to date, we've been unsuccessful. I wish I could have better news for you there. So we're starting, at least from an accounting standpoint, to book in what we think that tuition and revenue loss would be. The last one there is really an unknown, and your guess might even be better than mine. We've simply been told by Frankfurt, brace for a double-digit budget cut. Now, I don't know if double digits is 10, 17, 27, or higher. So we have a variety of different budget models that we're starting to scratch on. None of them are perfect. But as we walk through the spring and our budget process, 10% of our, not our total budget, but 10% of our state appropriation is about $4.1 million. We're hopeful that it's less than that. And we have a number of Frankfurt meetings, and we've been visiting with individuals in Frankfurt, trying to keep that as low as we can. There will probably be some type, we hope, knock on wood type substance, some type of reduction of these. Now, I mentioned before that we backed up hiring. We've hired a few key people, but not many. We've been very conservative with contracts. We've been very conservative in a number of ways. We've trimmed some stuff that doesn't affect you in here. We're looking at building costs and other things. I prefer to try to take care of our people over taking care of our stuff. Now, you can't always do that, but that's at least been the trend line that we've looked at. I have no idea on what to predict on a state budget cut, but we hope it goes lower than that. My call out to you today is we're not broke. We got a $152 million budget. It might be a little bit less next year, but we still remain very, very financially strong. As a part of that strength, we've been trying to very strategically reposition stuff. I say stuff because it's all over the board. It's where we have contracts, it's where we have units, it's where we have people, it's how we categorize people, because remember, we're in an era of performance funding now, not base level funding. Never before in the state of Kentucky have we had a new funding formula, a budget cut, and a 66% increase in pension cost. Never. And we've got all that in 12 months this year that we're having to control for. And I think we've done a decent job so far. We've still got a ways to go. The strategic plan that our groups brought forward said review every unit on campus. Every unit on campus. So we'll be going through and looking at how we can reposition each unit on campus to best fit what we think is the best strategy going forward. It also said some things like move to fractional loads. And what a fractional load is if you're a staff member, we may ask you to teach a class as a part of your load. If you're a faculty member, we may try to work with you to cover this service area. And really what we're trying to do is strategically use the 800 people, full-time people we have here on campus, in a way that gets us our greater good. And many of you, and those of you in the audience know, we've had conversations with many of you on taking on teaching a class or taking on this service unit, and we've had good luck so far. Many of you have been team players, and you say, I understand. We have folks with master's degrees running around here that could teach a little bit, and we've been reaching out slowly to them. And that doesn't mean if you have a degree, you're going to start teaching. We've been very strategically trying to plug some gaps, so we'll continue to do that. You may also have seen in the news, back in December, our Board of Regents allowed us the opportunity and okayed to dispose of three pieces of property. Those three pieces of property, one is an old, grown-up golf course, 4 or 5 miles out of town going this way. Hasn't been used for about 10 years. We reviewed it. We found it to be of really no strategic value to the university, and we're going to sell that property. It's grown up and the weeds are way over my head, and we just need to get rid of it. The second one is the old American Legion building, and some of you might have had a hard night or two down there in the past. It's behind Pasquale's. I think we've turned it over to the rats and the mice. There's a bunch of junk in there, and we're going to surplus and get rid of that building. It's no strategic value. It doesn't border our campus, and we need to just get rid of it. And then the third one that the board approved was a commercial vacant lot. It's about 3 or 4 acres, close to 4 acres. The best description I can give you is walk out of the front of Walmart and keep walking, and you'll get pretty close to it. It's right across the road over behind the Dairy Queen. It's a commercial lot. It was acquired through a couple of years ago through kind of a unique trade purchase, and really we have no need for a 3 or 4 acre commercial lot out by the exit there at 137, so we're going to dispose of that, and we're going to apply these funds in a very strategic way, not for annual operating plug, but maybe for debt reduction or something else. I think we've done a pretty good job for next year positioning for performance funding. Many of you know, because we've talked to you, we're moving stuff around, we're recategorizing people, we're changing titles, we're changing job descriptions, we're moving you from one unit to another, and you might ask, how come? Well, much of this is to position the university for performance funding. We get credit for different areas, and sometimes credit based off what your title is or what unit you're in. And that's why we've been coming to you and trying to work with our campus to get the right people in the right units to get credit in that mechanism. That's the move away from general fund, base level funding, to performance funding. I think we've done a good job. The last one on the slide there is diversity planning, and one of the things that several folks, Jill Ratliff and Charles Holloway and others out of Provost Office have been doing is we've been asked to increase some of our performance in our diversity plan. Many of the universities across the state were asked to do that. So that's something that we've been in negotiations with them over the past month to month and a half, and I think we've come to a suitable conclusion there. And then the council in Frankfort will take all those for approval at their February meeting, but we were probably one of 9 or 10 other institutions in the state that were asked to do a little bit of amending there. You probably saw some buildings disappear if you've been gone over the past couple of weeks. Back in the fall, our board voted to allow us the opportunity to tear down 6 old buildings. Some of them had roofing problems, some of them had plumbing problems, some had sewage backed up in their basements. Some of them were okay, but we didn't want to put new monies into them. And what we're doing is trying to reposition our facilities. We move those individuals into an existing footprint, into our current footprint, and that's going to help us kind of start to lower some of our cost structure and paying utilities and cleaning costs and updating roofs and things like that. All of this, I know, has got consternation backed up all over campus because many of you are waiting to get into ADUC. And we've got ADUC that will come online, hopefully, early fall. It may come on in 2 phases, maybe a little bit a touch of a summer, maybe a little bit a touch of early fall. Our hope is to cut a ribbon on that thing sometime in the early fall, maybe approaching homecoming. I hope parts of it are open before that, but if you really look at our campus, we have a lot of facility transition going on, and before we can move one person, we've got to move another person. Before we move that person, we've got to get this person into ADUC, and I appreciate your patience, and many of you have said, you know, I get it, and I'm okay where I am right now. Our hope is when we get to fall, barring no unforeseen issues, that things begin to settle down from a facility standpoint. We kind of return to normal. That doesn't mean we won't have just kind of the ongoing movement of a very large enterprise, but some of our big construction, we hope, comes to a close. I do want to thank you for your patience as we do that. We've also turned a lot of attention to fundraising, primarily for scholarships, and we've moved away from fundraising for brick and mortar as a theme. And over the past couple of months, I want to compliment Jim Shaw and the Development Shop, because they've done a great job getting out, and we have several new endowments that are coming on board, several large gifts in progress that have been facilitated and hopefully will be booked soon. And you'll hopefully see some of these going forward. Our pathway going forward, and we're going to put our money and our push in development on raising money for scholarships for students, because we think that drives enrollment and will give us a little bit of a competitive edge. So as we move forward, you'll probably see less emphasis on raising money for brick and mortar, more emphasis clearly on scholarship and a scholarship campaign. Within that, I just wanted to highlight one that came around about the time of homecoming. Our African American alumni got together and in about an hour raised a very substantive chunk of money to create a new endowment. And also, this is just one of many, and probably the biggest, that we have worked on. At the December board meeting, we obtained approval from the board to name our second academic college. Many of you know we have Caudill College right now. And starting in the fall of 2018, and really showing some academic strength here, we'll have the Smith College. The Smith College of Business and Technology, named after Elmer Smith, again, a very substantive chunk of money, several million dollars. And that college will be brought online, and those funds will be used to fund scholarships, not only within the new Smith College, but all over campus. And the generosity of Elmer Smith to the campus here has been unrivaled by very, very few people. Very much an alumnus, grew up in East Kentucky, a success story, and has gone on to really build a very nice business enterprise. So if you get the opportunity, or if any of you know him, certainly thank him for that. This is an example of where we want to move as we build out some of the strength of the university. I mentioned lots of strengths, and many of you have been at Morehead State for many, many years. You've seen issues in the 70s, you've seen issues in the 80s, you've seen issues in the 90s. The bottom line is we've weathered them all. This is a resilient university. And in 1971, there was an individual that stood right here and said, and I'll read it very quickly, "I don't intend to be pessimistic today. I don't intend to be optimistic today. I want to approach the problems from a very humanistic standpoint, and I want to approach them from the standpoint that they're possible. It's possible to get the job done at Morehead, and if you don't think it can be done, or if I don't think it can be done, we'd throw our hands up and turn it over to all the critters that roam the hills." Now, that the end of it is a touch humorous, and I don't mean for it to be humorous. What I wanted to point out to you after the help of some Jamie and folks of digging this out of some of the archives is we've been here before. Our university has seen some tough times. We're still strong. $152 million budget, $50 million in the foundation, 10,500 students is still strong. But we've got some things to work through. And while we may see something in the paper that gives us a little bit of a downer, or you're looking at pensions and saying, gosh, they may change something on me, we can't control that. But what we can control is what happens here in the way that it affects our students. In the individual that stood up here, and I make no recollection of today, Dr. Adrian Doran believed in the university, and it weathered a lot of storms, and many presidents weathered those storms as well. And my call out to you going forward is all of us, 800 some odd people and a bunch of part-time folks, we're going to be fine going forward. So take those articles that you see. Yes, we've got to pay attention. We've got to start doing this. We've got to change that. But we're going to be fine. We might look a little different, but we're going to be fine. And this really is, and I know all the universities in Kentucky pretty well, having worked with them out of Frankfort. And when you go around the gentle attributes of all of them and you call out things, I think you can probably say resilience is what we need to be known for, because that's where it's been for the past couple of years. And it's all been around teamwork. It's all been around creating efficiencies. We've all got to think about recruitment, graduation rates, retention, and performance in between. We've got to think about quality, too. People will come for quality, but really, this is the reason we're here. 10,560-some-odd students. And we've got to take care of them through customer service. We've got to take care of them through quality teaching. We've got to take care of them through student success measures. We've got to take care of them through athletics, through Greek organizations, and whatever else they're doing. And if we do that, we're going to be just fine.